This is what you give me to work with. Well, honey, I've seen worse. We're gonna turn this sow's ear into a silk purse.
This is Two Guys Without a Clue. I am Catatonic Clat.
Catatonic Clat. Nice to meet you.
I decided to change my name. It's been too long since our last podcast.
Yeah, no.
I thought everyone forgot us anyway, so we might as well start again. And I'm here with Dragaroo. How have you been?
I've been doing well.
Yeah, it's been way too long since our last Hercules podcast.
It has been a while, but, you know, better late than never.
Yeah, I think life has been busy, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we wanted to put out some good quality of podcasts, not just churn them out. So
that's right, right. We've always emphasized quality over quantity. We want to make sure we get it right.
Yeah, yeah. We're supposed to be done with this, right?
Something like that.
At some point, right? Yeah. What did we see today?
Today was Mulan, and we have a special guest with us.
Oh, we do?
Believe it or not.
We actually can have
that was people. Actually the third person in the room with us, yes.
What?
Let me introduce you to Melissa. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. All
We saw Mulan, and this is from 1998, quintessential, like, 90s pop Disney era, right?
So every time that we see a movie in the 90s, we talk about the Disney Renaissance.
Yes.
Without really knowing what it is. So is this part of the Disney Renaissance or not?
Yes.
When does the Disney Renaissance end?
I think it varies between people, but I think it ends, like... Well, Home on the Range.
Home on the Range? No, yeah. There's no way. No way. The next movie is what?
The next movie?
Yeah.
Tarzan.
Tarzan. Tarzan is probably part of it. What's after that?
Fantasia 2000.
Okay. Yeah, I think it probably ends after Tarzan.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah, because then so Tarzan, Fantasia 2000, then what? Then Lilo and Stitch? Then Home on the Range?
No, Dinosaur and Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove. Oh, Dinosaur. Dinosaur is such a weird movie. It's
then Atlantis,
anomaly.
Then Lilo
Atlantis,
and Stitch.
Atlantis, The Lost Empire, Lilo and Stitch. Yeah, so those aren't part of it for sure.
Right.
It has to end at...
It ends at Tarzan.
Those. Yeah, okay.
So this is the second to last movie.
But this is where I feel like they've kind of... They're into their stride, right? They've had a bunch of big successes.
Well, you gotta look at this. Like, from every year from The Lion King, it's been a movie, right?
Right, yeah. They're just churning them out.
They churn them out. So.
Because prior to the Disney Renaissance, you would see them, I guess a little bit less regularly, like every 2 to 3 years?
Yeah,
sometimes
roughly.
A little bit more, like depending on how far back we go. But yeah, for now they've found their groove, right? They're making money. They've got celebrity voice actors and everything. They're doing big Broadway musical numbers for everything. Every few minutes, like they have... mastered down to the point of making a cliche, the musical montage, of which there are many in this film in particular. And they've also kind of piggybacked on the success of films like The Lion King, right? Where they have a big pop star come in, or I guess in this case, not so big pop star come in and then create a career out of that. Like the soundtrack becomes a major part of the film. I guess Donny Osmond's popularity would be
waning at this point, if best.
Yeah, I had no idea. I knew that was Christina Aguilera.
No, but she didn't sing in the movie.
She did the credits song, right?
She did the credits song,
right?
Yeah.
Because that's what they still were trying to do to this day, right? They have someone, even with like what was it with the songs for Frozen, right? They had someone else do a cover because they've been doing that for the last forever. It seems like, right? They'll do a main theme for the film itself, and then they'll get some celebrity to do it as well, thinking that that's the one that's going to be radio friendly, right? And then they can create a personality around that, and it's the whole Disney starlet thing and all that jazz.
All that jazz? That's a different movie.
Yeah. But this is when they've hit their stride in that, and they know that, okay, this is what's popular.
Yes.
And this is how we're going to, you know, make these films.
The pacing is good, I think, on this film. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you get some character development, and there's not that many characters. You're looking at, what, 4 characters? And one of them doesn't talk. 2 of them don't talk.
So, yeah, Mulan.
Yeah.
And the other character, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
As Mushu.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy as Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. a cricket, a horse.
And then what's the captain's name? The captain of the colonel?
Sean?
Shang.
Shang. Who is kind of the straight character. Like, he's the only, like, serious character throughout the entire movie, really. Mm. I mean, I guess the father is, but he's not really, doesn't have a major role.
No, he's just the end bookends. Yeah, I mean, there's basically, in character development, there's...
So it's the three of them, and then what? The cricket?
Cricket.
Would he be considered a main character?
Yeah, I think the cricket is. I think you have to look at the main characters as the cricket, Eddie Murphy as Mushu, Mulan, and Shan.
Yeah.
I think that's it, right? You got nothing else.
I mean, I don't know that the cricket necessarily propels the story, but he works in cahoots with Mushu.
Well, I think he does propel the story. Without the cricket, there is no Mulan from the way this movie is set up.
Hmm.
Right? Mulan based...
Yeah, you're going to have to explain this.
Right, so if we go through the beginning, right? So Mulan is supposed to go and be match made, I guess. Apparently that's what you do when you're in China.
Okay.
You go to a matchmaker and you have to show that you're worthy of being match. I don't know. This is weird. I don't know how, like, you have to parade in front of one person to decide who you're. It feels weird.
I think they sped up the process a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah. And her grandmother gives her a cricket, right? And that's the cricket. Mm-hmm. But that cricket causes all sorts of havoc and causes her to get kicked out and dishonor, right? So this is like, without that cricket, would she have been so bad?
I guess so. I guess if you put it like that, I wonder, is the cricket supposed to be like symbolic or something? Of something?
Of luck.
Of luck.
Right?
It's a physical manifestation of luck.
Yeah.
But then he himself admits that he's not lucky.
Yes.
So.
It's meta. Right. No, I mean, without the cricket, there's no dishonor to Mulan. Mulan, if not dishonored, probably would have gotten married to someone, or they would have been in some way. So she wouldn't have felt the need to go defend her father because she didn't feel like she, like, without the cricket, there is no.
I think you're looking at it a little bit too literally. I think the cricket was this there to make her failure a little bit less.
Her fault?
Yeah. But she was going to fail one way or another, cricket or no.
You think so? I don't think so. I think she could have done that.
Melissa's going to have to sell this for us.
I don't know. I think she could have done it without the cricket.
Yeah. See? She would have been fine.
So then is the cricket in that light, is he a protagonist or an antagonist? If both. He's the reason why he's both.
He's both, right?
Interesting.
He's got to be both. In the beginning, not very good.
Hmm.
But by the end of the film, you need the cricket.
Go get her? What's the matter? Would you, after this great stone Humpty Dumpty mess, I'd have to bring her home with a medal to get back in the temple. Wait a minute. That's it. I'll make Mulan a war hero and they'll be begging me to come back to work. That's the master plan. Oh, you done it now, man.
So yeah, like all, like, I guess that would make the cricket and Mushu, because he's acting out of selfish means.
Yes.
Right. And I guess maybe to some degree Mulan as well, because she reveals at some point that she's doing this. Yes, she's doing it for her family, but she's also doing it for herself, right?
Oh, so she's totally doing it for
basically
herself.
Basically, everyone, every character in this film is an antagonist of sorts.
Even Shan.
Yeah. I mean, Mulan could have gone home. She got kicked out, mm-hmm. and she decided to stay and climb that tree that day and prove herself. So the story could have ended there.
She could have gone home, could have died multiple times.
True.
Could have not saved China. These are things Mulan could have done. Mm-hmm. Chose not to.
Interesting.
So
the moral of the story then is?
Girls can do anything guys can do. That's the moral of the story.
Mm.
Honestly, that's right. What else is there?
What do you think about that?
Girls can do anything that guys can do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Well, it is, but I mean, on the surface, right? If you're looking at this at different levels of, for kids, right? If you're looking at like a 5 to 7 year old girl, let's say even 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
The subtleties of all the storylines are not going to be felt, right? They're not going to get, like, when she's getting, she's going to become a matchmaker, like in the matchmaker scene, right? She goes and beats the two guys in chess.
Right.
Right? She could totally use her mind, but like that's going to get lost unless you pay really close attention to the movie. Right? So the subtleties of like a girl can do and what they should be able to do is tough. But overall, the movie just says girl power. Right? I mean, that's pretty much it.
To a young girl, yes.
To a young girl, that's the movie.
I
mean,
I remember watching it when I was a kid, and that was the basic idea.
Yeah. Like, if you boil down each one of these princess stories, there's, like, one basic truth, right? If you go to, like, Frozen, it's sister's rule.
Oh, man.
What?
Man, when you simplify it like that, that makes me really not like film.
I'm not saying it's the only message, but that's the message that you're overwhelmingly trying to get.
Uh-huh. I guess I can't disagree with you, but I think there are some stronger themes. And I agree. Like, it works on several levels, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, the girl power, was that how you summed it up?
Yeah.
Obviously, this equality message is very, very strongly hammered in, especially because, you know, when she's revealed as being a woman that has, you know, dressed as a man in order to fight in this war, and she's immediately chastised, and people, like, barely come to her defense, right, even though she's ostensibly saved their lives. And then, when she's in the kingdom, and she's saved the entire the people in the palace, right? They still, the tradition, which is, you know, represented by the chancellor, his assistant or something like that, one of the people on the council,
court secretary,
the court, yes, the court secretary. What's all,
arguably he's the court secretary,
essentially. Yeah. They still go back to that message of it's, we're safe now, it's time to punish you for disgrace in our kingdom, because, you know, women are not in a role. This is not their place, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, obviously, that is a primary point. But also, I think it's pretty obvious at multiple points where they're showing how she was able to use wit over brains over brawn in several circumstances, like when she took the rocket out of the whatever his name is, one of the characters' names, the last rocket, when the horde was charging down that mountain, and she started the avalanche instead of, you know, doing what she was supposed to, and she disobeyed her direct order, right? Yao, and she disobeyed an order. She did what she thought was right. So I mean, there's layers to this beyond the girl power message, which makes it a little bit more, I don't know, real, because it gives her character depth. Like, if without that stuff, then it would just fall kind of flat, because it wouldn't explain why she was an equal, why she was better in many regards to
Don't doubt that that's it, but that's not everyone's gonna see that, right? And they plant that from the beginning, right? She's cutting with the dog is gonna do her chores. Right. Mm-hmm. And then she out tricks the what's her name? The matchmaker by writing it on her hand instead of where she thinks everyone's going to write it on the fan.
Right.
Right. So from the beginning, you see that she's smarter than what are the people around her. That's why the chess game is important. Mm-hmm. That's why you see all of these things that she can easily get. And then when she has to climb the tree, right, she's smarter than it. The guys just try brute force,
right?
Right. She's the one like, oh, okay, well, if you tie these together, I can actually get up. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's clear that she's smarter than all those guys.
Mm.
They're pretty dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, that was well established.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about particularly, yeah, the guys that she fights with. So they're what, three principal characters, right?
Yeah. Three stooges.
Right, right, exactly.
They're the three stooges, yeah. Right? It's a Harry, Larry, and Mo.
And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
They're the Chinese equivalent of Harry, Larry, and Mo.
Hi, I'm Ling.
And I'm Qian Po.
Hello, Qian Po.
And I am Yao, King of the Rock. And there's nothing you girls can do about it.
Do you think that worked?
What do you mean?
Do you think they were good characters?
Comic relief characters, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like them?
They're funny. I like them.
I think they balanced it out. Yeah. They were funny.
I think they eventually were.
Eventually.
But I thought this movie has some really strong emotional like shifts, right? That I found kind of jarring.
What do you mean?
For example, you know, they're I guess it's best emphasized when they're marching up the mountains up to the town where what's his face? What's the name of the captain again?
Shang.
When Shang's father was supposed to be, right? Or there was some reinforcements or something like that. And they're going through that, you know, they have a song about whatever the girl that I'm fighting for, that song, right?
Right.
And then they immediately just jump cut to the burning city, and I don't know. It's just a little bit strange to me to when you see the, you know, this overall theme of, you know, this is death, and to kind of I don't know, trivialize that.
But they don't trivialize it, right? I mean, the point is these guys didn't think they were actually going to fight, right? These were guys were the reinforcements. These guys were inscripted to just be the backup if the main people that actually wanted to be in the army, which is what got said that Shang's father was, right? These guys are the military trained. They were supposed to really defeat. These guys were just supposed to come up and clean the mess up, right? So they were supposed to like be like, we're going to go to war. We're going to get some glory points and we'll go home and find a girl. Right? I mean, that's the point of that, right? And then when they realize, and that's why you see the start, like the harsh contrast, as soon as they see what war really is, all of them are like, what did we get ourselves into?
Sure, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the point of that.
Oh.
And also that song and that scene is supposed to show you like what the general thought process of men are, right? Like in that era or in just the film is that all they care about is a woman that will cook, clean, feed them, and just like bow down to them, right? And you can easily see Mulan being very awkward in that scene, and she doesn't really sing along, and it's just like super like, what is going on here, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
She mentions like in there, like, yeah, someone with a brain or something like that, and they're just talking about a woman cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's those three show what they show the growth of the male attitude throughout the film, right? That's the point of those three characters. In the beginning, they're all like macho men, but then in the film, they're like, go Mulan.
Yeah.
Okay. Wearing dresses.
Exactly. And makeup. So that's your everyday man, right? That's the point of those three, right? Different facets of everyday man.
Like sure.
The gentle soul, the tough guy, and the comic relief.
Overall, how did you guys feel about the way the men were portrayed in the movie? We've kind of discussed those three guys, but like Shang and every other male character. What did you think? Even Mulan's father?
Mulan's father, I feel, is a stereotype of a generation that has been to war, right? One that is honor bound and will fight even if they are injured and have no legs, right? Mm-hmm. That's basically what Mulan's father is. Doesn't matter what, it's just an honor, right?
Yeah.
Then you have Shang, who's the son of the captain, or so he has to live up to that. So he's that son that's living up the legacy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other real guys. I mean, there's the court jester secretary dude who basically is like, I think I'm all that, but he can't hold his own in any way, right? The guy's gonna die if put into any other role.
I thought the that jester was actually really well done.
He's well done.
They made a character that is like intrinsically like he's kind of a goofball, but when he turns on like Mulan and says like, you know, horrible things about her, like you don't like it seems in character because he is kind of the very strict representation of the Chinese, the attitude towards women in this time period, right? And he was definitely the most like person. He was the most observant, most kind of stuck to traditional values and viewpoints. So he was, I think he conveyed that position well in a way that if anyone else did, like if Shang did, that would come off as wrong or strange.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was a good scapegoat in that sense. Yeah, I don't really have a much different opinion about the other main male characters, I suppose. His dad, I think the portrayal was good. I think the character, his motivation seemed just. Like, he also was, you know, someone who came from a long ancestry of respected warriors of some sort. Like, he had that, you know, the outfit and everything. And he was prepared to fight in war, even though he knew that he would die in the process. So he seemed like a fairly realistic character to me. What are the other male characters?
There's none. There's like four main characters. Well, okay, five. That talk, right? I mean, unless you
want... Yeah, besides our villain.
Yeah, who doesn't really say anything.
Yeah.
He's like, must kill China.
I thought he was okay. I thought he was fine.
No, he's fine,
he was
right?
Menacing. He didn't seem... He had some wit to him as well in his you know, few lines of dialogue, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a few man, a few words, and...
There are characters that I don't like. Like, I hate it when you have characters that are just, like, pure evil and flat.
Yeah, he's not
pure. And he's not that. He seems like he's very, you know, strong, motivated, he's smart.
He's quite smart.
Yeah, so, yeah, he was good.
Yeah. He was able to infiltrate a parade pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. With, like, all of China watching. Well, all of... Emperor's world watching, which is crazy. Could have killed Emperor. Just acted too late.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
maybe next time. Maybe in Mulan 2.
They do have Mulan 2. I don't think that he comes back for that.
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them.
Have you watched it?
No, I definitely have not.
Did you?
I actually haven't. I was thinking about doing it this weekend, but I did not. I'll watch it tomorrow.
Excellent. I'll have to report back.
It's nothing. It's just, it sounds pretty stupid. It's all about finding true love.
Oh, great.
Great. So it like reverses this entire
movie.
There's
no other Disney movie that does that.
Yeah.
No Disney movie finds true love. Come on. I don't know of anyone that actually finds love. You don't see them after the movie.
Fair point.
Who knows?
True.
Fair point.
What other character? Like, what do you guys think of the Eddie Murphy Mushu character?
Did I hear someone ask for America? Let me hear you say, ow!
Ah!
That's close enough!
I don't know. I mean, incredibly racist, I would say. His name alone, Mushu, is, I don't know, a little offensive.
Well, there's a lot of offensive parts of this
movie.
Yeah,
there is.
Yeah.
But I think that he definitely holds a lot of that. A lot of his jokes about egg rolls and a few other things about the panda are just really offensive, I think.
panda.
Urgent news from the general. What's the matter? You've never seen a black and white before?
Yeah, so that's my general thought on him.
I thought it was Eddie Murphy. I think it's pretty representative.
Of Eddie Murphy?
Kind of comedic style. Yeah. I thought... I was actually fairly impressed. I thought, like, this isn't a film where he phoned it in. But it's like you're getting this... You know what to expect when you sign on Eddie Murphy onto your film. It's the same character. It's the same shtick in every film. He must have, like, the same writers come on board with him for everything he does.
Right, so it's like it's, Donkey.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just Donkey.
Way before Donkey, yeah. I mean, you look at his other films, and it's the same thing, which is it's fine. It works for this film because it's a very strong, like, it's a very serious film, and he makes it very unserious in a way. I don't know if it needed to swing that hard, and that's kind of what I was alluding to before. Are those hard swings between, you know, making light of everything and but when the underlying story is actually fairly grim, but I think he pulls it off okay. I don't disagree. Like a lot of the stuff is pretty edgy. Would be a nice way of putting it, maybe. But
edgy.
It is what it is.
Well, I think they made like bean curd jokes and
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just
quite a few.
I feel like it was like trying to introduce the United States to Chinese culture without really introducing Chinese culture, but more introducing like Chinese American culture.
Yeah.
Or like taking advantage of that link, but not really in a positive way, but more of a joking way.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh well. I mean, but I agree. I think without Eddie Murphy's character, it's a very serious movie, right? You can't really make this.
It would be completely different without him. And I wonder at one point they decided to put that character in.
Probably from the beginning, right? I assume.
Because it would be a completely different film. Like, even if you put like a softer personality, I think it would be a completely different film.
Oh, apparently this started off as a short straight-to-video film called China Doll.
Oh, really?
As an oppressed, miserable Chinese girl who is whisked away by a British prince charming to happiness in the West. But then they looked at other stuff and they found the Chinese poem, The Song of Fa Mulan. And so they combined the two ideas.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. And that's how you get this thing. They started off in like 94 when Lion King just released.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah. And it uses a lot of newer technologies at this time, right? You're like seeing like the amount of crowds that they used and the amount of like the Hun army and things like that, right? It's far more sophisticated than Lion King, where you got those stampeding wildebeest. This one's far more detailed.
Right. Yeah, no question.
And the Great Wall of China is brilliantly done, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
It was... For how little it's in the movie, but it looks like how much detail they put into that for a
shot.
Really
beautiful.
Set the movie up pretty well. I think I did like how they didn't start with the main character at all. Like, it actually started off with like, this is the entire plot of the movie. We're gonna basically have a war.
Mm.
Get ready for darkness, and then they'll lighten it up. But the entire movie has like, every time you get serious, the entire movie changes from like light colors to like just shadows. Everything is shadows.
Yeah.
Which it's really violent for a Disney movie.
Yeah, people die, but off screen.
They don't really show it, but there's still a lot of destruction and death.
Yeah, I mean, you see the doll of the girl.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to assume that the girl or kid was
dead.
The
children, yeah, are dead.
Yeah, it's a very dark film. I don't know.
I like that they showed Mulan paying her respect to Shang's father when
he
died, and then
that
the little girl as well.
Yeah.
Whereas all the other men just kind of walk off ready for the next thing. Mm. She takes the extra 30 seconds to like say a little prayer and kind of remember those people. I thought that was important.
That is important. That sets up what Mulan is fighting for, right?
Exactly.
Mulan is actually fighting for, at that point, not herself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She feels like the destruction that's happening to China, then fights for China.
Yep.
Right. Until that point, she's like, I need to just prove myself. But then she really sees like, okay, this seems like this is bigger than I thought. And she could die, right? I mean, that's the thing. I thought it was very, very well done that they cast the two main characters as being Asian American. Mulan is played by Ming Na, and then B.D. Wong plays the Shang, who are two prominent Asian American actors. I thought that was really well done. Like, they could have easily chosen someone else, but I think they chose choosing those two has helped along, don't you think?
So B.D. Wong is the one who was it the Jurassic Park film, right?
Well, that's not what he's most well known for, but yes. D.D. Wong is in the Jurassic Park film.
Well, what is he more well known for? I'm not actually familiar.
He was on Broadway, and he was in M. Butterfly. I think he won an award for that. He's also well known for Law & Order SVU.
Ah.
He's the psychologist in that one.
Yeah, I can't say I'm familiar with him outside of his Jurassic Park work, but
the 5 seconds he's in Jurassic Park is.
I'm afraid.
Ming Na is far
ignorant.
More popular, I think, or at least more recognizable.
Oh yeah, she was in the video game Kingdom Hearts 2 as Mulan.
No, Ming Na is. Do you know the current TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh yes,
she is. that's her, the Asian woman in there is Ming Na.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's Mulan. And she was like the Joy Luck Club or something like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, Joy Luck Club. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh, weird.
Yeah, she's a well-known actress.
Yeah.
And she was in sci-fi shows and things like that, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, you got two Asian voice actors, and they didn't, you could see that they didn't do that when they did Aladdin, right? You did not get like Middle Eastern voice actors.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. So as well, I think even though there's different points of this movie where you cringe at the fact that they make fun of Chinese culture or something, like just use that to make a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, they did push forward Asian Americans or Asians in voice acting roles or for these roles.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Right, because you got George Takei as the main ancestor.
Yeah, that was I did not realize that was him. That was weird.
It's out of body experience, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who else is. There's got to be some other people in here that. Like a lot of these people were.
They had Chris Sanders as little brother. I did not know that. I knew he worked on this film, but Chris Sanders, director of Lilo and Stitch, voice of Stitch, was also the voice of the dog, which is appropriate.
So he started off as the voice of a dog.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere, you know.
Yeah, and then the emperor is, what's the emperor's name? Is Pat Moriarty.
Really?
Yeah. You might remember him from Karate Kid.
Huh.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. So they got some pretty prominent Asian actors.
For the Chinese dub.
Yeah.
They had Jackie Chan.
As who?
I don't know. I'm not sure, actually.
As all the characters? All the characters.
I would definitely see that if that were the case.
I kind of want to hear that now. Jackie Chan, character, plays by all.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, he did Shang in the Chinese release.
Okay. Yeah, that actually sounds pretty cool.
There's a... Ling was played by Ged Watanabe. No, I mean, if you look at the main cast, most of them are Asian for the characters. That's pretty good, considering.
Do you guys have anything else that stuck out with you?
The songs, they're catchy.
All right, yeah, let's talk about the music. Go ahead.
I don't know. It's a really good.
Well, okay, soundtrack. Let's start the song. So let's start from the beginning. What do we have? Initial one where she's what is the first song? It is when she's going to the matchmaker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. How does that rank? Katatanka, in your book. Among the songs in the film.
How many songs are in the film?
There aren't that many, are there?
There are like four or five.
There's like a bunch back to back. Yeah. But then you're kind of song free for a while.
song free for a while. Yeah. There's 13 songs. The like musical tracks in this. And so there's Honor to Us All. Reflection. I'll Make a Man Out of You. A Girl Worth Fighting For. Yeah, those are the songs. Everything else is scores.
So, yeah, let's start from the top. Honor to Us All.
I don't know. That's pretty low.
Pretty low?
Yeah.
Reflection. Go
pretty
down
high.
The line. What happens in Reflection? This is where, right after that, and she's contemplating. You know, she's not fitting in the role that she
doesn't fit
supposed
into society,
to be.
Yeah.
Right, her role in society, and she's trying to discover who she is.
Right,
right.
So
that would rank pretty high up there.
That's like two.
Two?
Yeah.
Two
out of four.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
The four songs. Right.
I'll Make a Man Out of You. You're the saddest bunch I ever met, but you can bet before we're through. Mr. I'll make a man out of you.
That's one.
With Donny Osmond and Chorus.
Yeah, I think that's number one. That song is really catchy.
Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And a girl worth fighting for.
I couldn't care less what she'll wear or what she looks like. It all depends on what she cooks like. Beef, pork, chicken.
And the local girls thought you were quite the charm.
And I'll bet the ladies love a man.
That's three. That's pretty catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Honor to Us All is four. I think that song could hit or miss.
I like that song.
You do?
Yeah, it sticks with me. I don't know why. It gets me excited for the movie.
Really? I like I'll Make a Man Out of You. I think that always gets me excited for the movie.
Yeah, that one's the best. I'd say that.
Like, it feels to me like it's a Rocky score, right?
Very empowering.
Yeah.
Very pump up.
Yeah. I like the workout. You could just totally do that workout.
Exactly.
I think you should just make that Mulan workout.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's get right on that.
Yeah?
After this podcast.
Yes.
Oh, my. You can have another podcast, Melissa, where you do videos of doing all the workouts that are in
Disney
the Disney
workouts?
Movies. Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be pretty big. I think people would like that.
Probably would do okay for yourself.
Yeah. You'd make a lot of money.
You're onto something.
I think so. Right? I mean, if you look at all the main, like Hercules workout, come on. Look how buff that guy get.
I know, right? Mm-hmm.
We don't know if he took steroids, but...
I don't need you guys to pay me for this. I'll just do the Disney workouts.
Done.
There you go.
When's our royalty check coming? We coined this first.
I also really dug the song that was playing in the shrine. The 90s like rock and drum song. Oh, that was so beautiful.
Apparently in other languages, there's more tracks. Do you think Jackie Chan sings on the Chinese version?
I don't know.
I hope so.
You said it was Shang? Oh, yeah. I guess he could.
He could, right?
One thing I did want to bring up, actually, is so this film was co-directed by Barry Cook and Tony Bancroft. Tony Bancroft is actually, or was a Disney animator. He actually has his own podcast now, which I highly recommend, called the Bancroft Brothers. Basically, I think Tony and Tom Bancroft are both... I think they're twins, and they also are both Disney animators who started at the same time and now are both ex-Disney people, partly because of the transition to 3D. And they just started the podcast, and it's extremely good. And if you're interested at all about what it was like behind the scenes, both in the studios in Florida, the defunct studio in Florida, and on the West Coast, I highly recommend checking that out, because they do talk about films like Mulan. I think, if I remember right, one of those two was the lead character animator for Mushu as well as being the director.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a good talk, and they talk about kind of the atmosphere inside the studio at the time, and they bring other people on. So yeah, if you're listening to this, you probably are kind of tuned for that, so Definitely worth a look. They also, one of the interesting topics they brought about is Disney became, they found themselves in the awkward position of needing to find more creative ways for villains to die. Because for a while, they had a lot of villains that were killed by falling. Like, falling deaths was a very common way to die. And if you think about it, of the films, even just like prior to this, yeah, that holds true. And so they became a lot more cognizant of, how are we going to get rid of this person in a way that doesn't seem like just like trope anymore. So
they had to come up with a way to kill the villain.
Yeah. So they that's one of the things that they touch upon. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like how they killed this one.
Also, they're brothers and twins, so they make fun of each other a lot. So yeah, it's good. One of their last guests was... some of the guests that they've had on the show is the CEO and animator for Laika, who also animated in The Box Trolls, their last stop motion film. One of the more recent guests was Aaron Blaze, who is the director of Brother Bear. Yeah, they're looking at people in a different league than us. But still, it's definitely worth a look.
There is also, I think, a podcast from the Disney Family Museum. Yeah, they have a couple. They're not very frequent, but they talk about they go through all parts of Disney. So there's some that are on the animation side, and some of them will talk about like the World's Fair and like parts of Disney parks and things like that. But they also had the Women of Disney, which I think is very interesting. So they'll talk about Mary Blair and all of her contribution to the Disney art direction that at times, and I think it's worth checking out.
Right on.
Has anyone read the poem for Mulan?
Who hasn't?
Every night before I go to bed.
Yeah, really? Obviously. But I mean, the gist of this thing, this ballad, is just basically a ballad, right? This is she takes her father's place in the army, and then fights in the army for 12 years, and then takes no recognition for it, and then retires to a quiet life. Pretty much it, right? So she just does her duty to save her father, and no one recognizes her for 12 years. So clearly, this Mulan could have got away with it for 12 years, but didn't. And there's a crater on Mars, no, Venus, sorry, named after her, after Mulan.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. And there's different versions of that poem, because I think translations and different parts of the what is now China had different family names put in, uh-huh, kind of to signify, I think, that area of China. They don't know what timeline it's supposed to take place in, because it kind of gets evolved. I think it was word of mouth for a long time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe, okay, so I don't have a ton of information on it, but I guess we can try to touch on the reception in China.
Was it good?
It was bad? Generally good.
Really?
Yes. So apparently there was some political trouble. Disney got into some heat because they released another movie.
Which movie?
Oh, it was a biography of the Dalai Lama, which they did not like.
In China?
Yes.
They released that in China. Well, that sounds like a terrible idea.
It was released, apparently they saw it. I don't know whether they released it in China or not. It was seen there.
Okay.
They were not fans. Oh, so I was not aware of this. So apparently China threatened to curtail business negotiations with Disney over that film, as they only accept 10 Western films to be shown in their country per year at that time.
At 1998?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
It released... but after Chinese New Year, so that local films had a better advantage of getting viewers, essentially. And box office was low due to the unfavorable release date and rampant piracy. They also complained that Mulan's depiction was too foreign-looking and the story was too different from myths. But
foreign-looking? Yeah, really?
Apparently.
I don't know. I don't know if it's foreign-looking. You couldn't really say that any of the Disney.
I'm thinking you would have to see whatever, you know, Chinese animation was at the time to make a fair call. It certainly was distinctive, but perhaps it wasn't enough. But that said,
And I mean, this was one of the highest grossing films at the time, right? I think it did 22.8 million in its opening weekend. It went on to gross 120 million in the U.S. and Canada, and 304 million worldwide. It's a lot.
That's big numbers.
But it was the second highest grossing family film that year.
What beat it?
Bug's Life.
Oh. Man, I forgot that Pixar stuff was already rolling on at this point. Yeah, that's bizarre.
Bug's Life beat it.
That's really bizarre.
Which is quite interesting.
Yeah. Because Bug's Life came after Toy Story, right? That was the second Pixar film?
Yeah.
Yes. After Toy Story. Yeah.
Everyone forgets Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Because Ants also came out at that time.
Yeah, DreamWorks film.
Which was terrible. Yeah, Bug's Life was John Lasseter, right?
Yeah, everything at Pixar at that time was.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was released. Yeah, so Bug's Life grossed $363 million. So.
Ouch.
Yeah. It wasn't even like a close race. It
yeah.
Was like,
so boom. This is the point where Disney starts sweating. Yeah.
Then they buy Pixar.
Well, no. Then they start making their own Pixar, and then that doesn't work.
And then they buy Pixar.
And they buy Pixar.
Oh, speaking of that, I think if you want to know about what happens about that Disney-Pixar merger around this time and everything that's going on, I think you should read Creativity Inc. I think that
that came out since our last podcast, didn't it?
Yeah. And I think that sheds some good light onto what's going on in animation at this time.
Oh. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What I've read of that is pretty good.
So,
someone is saying that Disney now is kind of outpacing Pixar in terms of quality of their productions.
I think that's arguable. I think you have to look at it. I think it goes back and forth. I think because the pace that they're leading between the two studios, it's a lot of films that they're pushing out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you look at it, they in the last couple of years, they've even... what Pixar was supposed to have another film this year, but that got pushed out, right? They definitely were pacing too hard, I think, and they backed down on both studios, I think, on what the pace should be. So we'll see. I mean, I think if you read Creative Inc., they say there's not competition between the two studios, but I think there slightly is a competition.
A lie.
Yeah.
Huh? That's a lie.
Yeah, there's, I think, a lie.
I think that's unavoidable.
Yeah. Okay. But I we'll see.
Certainly. Anyway, any parting thoughts on Mulan?
Melissa?
Impressions?
I still liked it as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't watched it in a really long time.
It holds up.
I still enjoyed it. Yeah. Entertaining, I think, for all ages.
Yeah. I mean, I think this holds up better than some of the later films. Yeah. Some of the earlier films too. I think I don't know if that's because of nostalgic of just knowing it, but I think it's.
I still admire the character. Like, I really thought about her values and what she represented, and I think she represents something really good.
I don't know. This is a film
for young girls to see. Yeah.
I think this is a film that if it's just on TV, I'll stop and watch it.
Yeah, it is. It is refreshing. I think to have a female. Lead that is not, you know, like a damsel in distress.
No, she saves the men.
She exactly. Really does kind of play a pivotal role in changing the outcome of of everything.
Mm-hmm.
She's a key character. So that's cool. That is definitely something to be admired.
I would say out of the Disney Renaissance films, this is the one I'd probably, if it was on TV, stop and watch.
And you surprisingly know this from past experience.
Yeah, from past experience, I'll put this, like, if this is on TV, I'll watch, but if Lion King, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I'd watch Lion King over and over again. Mm. It's a good film, but it's not one you can just, like, okay, just get dive right into it. But it's not my favorite. So thoughts, Gregor,
on
Mulan?
On Mulan thought? Yeah, I don't know. I think I liked it.
You think you liked it?
Yeah. Yeah, I found it enjoyable. I wouldn't call it one of my favorite films, but I thought the character was really good. I thought Mulan was a really good character. I thought Mushu was actually a very entertaining character, like probably the most since the genie, Robin Williams in Aladdin. And I think their kind of back and forth worked really well. And I liked the kind of the levity of the situation. Like they didn't kind of pull back on the fact that, you know, terrible things were happening and people have this terrible attitude towards women, and they acknowledge that, you know, you need to fight for yourself, what you believe in. So that part was definitely was good. I think if I had any complaints, I think the pacing is a little bit strange. I think only because, like, the back-to-back montages was a little much for me. Although, the music was fine. Yeah, it was good. It's late.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for coming, Melissa.
Yeah.
We really appreciate your input.
Yeah.
And until next time.
I'm Catatonic Cat.
I'm Gregory.
Good night.
It must be swift as a coursing river.
Oh, why li xiang na feng bao wu qing.
Man jiao the strength of a raging fire.
The steel wei mo xia na an ye de.
Who spit in her bean curd?